world, if that is what Jesus has called us to walk on. This pathway is not a door, it's a pathway. It's not a door that we get a key to necessarily and turn the latch and walk on through and there are the techniques and everything is fine and we don't need to think about or worry about anything anymore. It seems to me that that's not what our Christian journey is like. In Proverbs 8, we're going to look at the words of the writer of this proverb a bit deeper this morning. In Proverbs 8, in the beginning of that proverb, wisdom is pictured as a person standing on a hilltop and at the crossroads, reinforcing this idea of a path, and at the entrance to the city and at the city gates. And the proverb says this, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud, to you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. Wisdom is pictured as this voice, as this person calling out. And I guess if we stop there and we think, what's our response to that? One part of our response, well, one response might be, so is my heart inclined to listen to this voice along the pathway, this voice of wisdom? The verses that follow give wisdom more value and importance than precious stones and wealth. And it says, this wealth is worth pursuing. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I attain knowledge and discretion. And it goes on. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. In that description, wisdom lives with prudence. What's prudence? Prudence seems to me to be the reality of knowing how things really are. And she also lives alongside insight, which is described as common sense in this proverb as well. Or insight being knowing how things really work. That's a description of wisdom. And wisdom is knowing what I should do about these things. Do you like poetry? Some people like poetry? No. Who understands poetry? Some people. Proverbs is a book of poetry, which is sometimes why it's a little bit hard, and Psalms as well, it's a little bit hard to get our head around if we are not kind of inclined to that kind of literature. But these words of poetry contain some beautiful descriptions and rules for life. We like rules for life, don't we? Yeah, they provide some guidelines. And if we keep going far enough through this book of poetry, we will also find exceptions to those rules. Life is full of exceptions that test our propositions. Proverbs is full of great truth and encouragement, and we like those propositional truths, like work hard and be successful. That's a good one, isn't it? What happens when somebody works hard and they're not successful? Does that mean that that truth is not true? Not necessarily. What about train up a child in the way they should go when they're old, they'll not depart from it? We like that one, don't we? Is it true for everybody? It's not a guarantee, is it? But it's a truth that we can hold on to, but there are exceptions to that. A definition of wisdom is this. Wisdom is competency with regard to the complex realities of life. Wisdom is competency with regard to the complex realities of life. How do we get that competency? How do we get that sense of peace, that sense of things will be all right, of confidence? Part of that confidence, I think, comes from the realization that although our world seems to be out of order, in disorder, in confusion, there actually is a pattern to this world. There actually is a pattern to life. And one of the foundations of our confidence in that is the biblical account of creation. The biblical account of creation is unique in all of the literature about creation because most other cultural myths describe creation as a power struggle between different forces who are trying to be dominant, who try to have the power over everything else. But in our biblical record of creation, we read that creation is the result of wisdom, of beauty, of power, of order, of joy, and of peace. So that there is a fabric, a pattern to all of reality. But at the same time, we cannot know everything. Let's look at Proverbs 8 description of creation. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths. I was given birth when there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills I was given birth, before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in the human race. Wisdom is personified as this person who was there alongside Jesus, an integral part of what we call the Trinity, the community of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, working together in this beautiful design and plan and implementation for creation. And here at the end, notice that Jesus is the one who is being personified, and that he is delighting in the human race. This person that we relate to, that we sing about, that we talk about, was this powerful agent of creation, of design, of planning, of purpose, but who also delights in the human race. If we can perceive this pattern, this fabric for creation and for life, then wisdom is living in alignment with that purpose and that plan, that fabric, that there is purpose, that God is still at work, that he is still working in this world. And that foolishness is going against the weave and the pattern of that creation. In the end, and this is my last point, wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. And the end of that description of creation, I think, is an invitation to think and to sit with his love for us for a moment. He delights in the human race, the pinnacle of creation. The last thing that was added into the temple of creation was an image of God, us, you and me. Jesus delights in the human race. And wisdom is built on this foundation of his love for us. His love for us in the deepest parts of our being. Drinking that in, filling up our hearts, topping up the wellness, that spring of life in us, is the foundation of wisdom. Before we are a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter, a cousin, a husband, a wife, or anything else, we are a deeply loved child of God. And a child of a father who only wants to give good gifts to his children, because that's his nature. This reality of creation reveals to us God's pattern and his order and his nature. And Jesus reveals to us his wisdom. Jesus actually says, "I am the wisdom of God. I am the wisdom of God to you." Jesus is the best reason for possible to believe in God the Creator, in God the loving Father. Jesus says, "I am the wisdom of God for you," because Jesus is more than just another great teacher. When we look at those titles on a bookshelf and think that there are some good teachers there, Jesus is more than just another great teacher. He lived and he died for us, as we've already sung about this morning. No other great teacher has done that. And finally, Jesus says, "I am the wisdom of God with us." And that calls a response from us to his invitation. You know, there are parts of the Bible that we call wisdom literature. Proverbs is one of those. Job, believe it or not, is wisdom literature, if you can work your way through the 37 chapters of his misery. And there are other parts of the Bible that we put into that category as well. But even outside of the Bible, there were other examples of wisdom literature that the early that people knew of and they responded to. And so you can imagine some of that wisdom permeating very early cultures. And then you can imagine these followers of Jesus sitting around him in the first century, hungry for wisdom, hungry for knowledge, hungry to know who he is, what do we do next, how do we follow you. And one day Jesus said to these followers, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I think I'd want to add, especially when it's all too hard to work out in the world that you live in, Jesus is the source of that love and that wisdom that we need. I'm going to leave it there and pray for us before we sing our last song. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you haven't left us alone in this world that sometimes we struggle to make sense of. We thank you that your Spirit walks alongside us. We thank you that we have a loving Father. And we thank you that loving Father has given us Jesus as a gift to us. Lord, as we seek knowledge, as we seek wisdom, as we are confronted with the need to make decisions each day, come alongside us. Be in our hearts, fill our hearts, so that we can have the confidence that you are with us, that you are shaping our minds, that you are feeding our hearts with your love. And help us to continually give glory to you in everything that we do as a consequence of the decisions that we make in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.